Greetings, everyone, and praise be Jesus Christ. As we arrive at the fourth week of Easter, we arrive at the midpoint of the Easter season, and you might notice a few changes. The flowers are all dead. These are all fake flowers up here. The real ones don't last that long. We begin this week the new month of May, which has many blessings, and our gospel for the very first time this Sunday of Easter is not about the risen Christ or the Easter appearances, the empty grave. Rather, we're given the image of the Good Shepherd, that same risen Lord, Jesus, who is the Good Shepherd, who never dies again. A few things about this day. Number one, the image of the Good Shepherd is the earliest depiction of Jesus Christ in art. In fact, in the ancient catacombs of Callistus, Priscilla, and Domitilla, you'll find written or inscribed there an image of the Good Shepherd. It was allowed in the time when Christianity was not allowed, because a shepherd was a common, ordinary scene. And this image of a man with a sheep around his shoulders was not necessarily a religious symbol. But for the Christian, it was, because Jesus is that shepherd who picks up the sheep and puts it on his shoulders. This image of the shepherd was common in the days of the scripture. Remember, David, the little king, the great king, was a shepherd boy. Even further back, we have the Psalms, we have Isaiah, we have Ezekiel, and even Moses had shepherd-like qualities, explicit mention of shepherd in Scripture. And today, it doesn't get more explicit than Jesus himself in John 10, saying, "I am the gate, I am the shepherd." Today, that image is a bit foreign to us, but it may recall to mind images of childhood. In first grade and second grade, we learn that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. And the image of the gentle shepherd holding us on his shoulders is a tender image for children. But it's not just for children. And when we think of shepherds, when we think of those that watch over us and guide us, I wonder to myself what comes to mind. In 2023, there's a new reality that's emerging that could be shepherd-like, and it's artificial intelligence. Believe it or not, but this is a growing reality of Big Brother watching us, of artificial intelligence, of Google knowing us. We all have had that experience. You schedule a trip to Paris, you type Paris in Google, and for the next week you have hotels from Paris being advertised left and right. That's someone knowing you. When Jesus says that he's the Good Shepherd and he knows us, it's quite different. And we need to keep that difference in mind. Jesus is neither the child image of shepherd, nor is he some police state or artificial intelligence of shepherd. But Jesus in his living body, the risen Christ in his humanity, is our good shepherd. And he comes back for his friends. He comes out of the grave back for his friends to heal, to find, to secure, to save. And on this Good Shepherd Sunday, it would do all of us very well to hear his voice, to notice what type of shepherd he is, a wounded but a victorious shepherd, a brave, a kind shepherd, as our prayers of this Mass declare, and to welcome his authority, his power, his leading, his guiding in our lives. My friends, this is Easter. And as the flowers die, as we get further from Easter Sunday, we are called to grow closer to the reality of Easter that continues and the work of Easter that is so necessary for our lives. I just want to share with you as a close a homily from the 3rd century. It's a homily that describes the work of the Risen One. And if you're anything like me, and you know that you need his work in you, you will find resonance in this little homily, this ancient homily. And you will welcome the Risen Shepherd more and more into your lives. Take a listen to this. When a house has no master living it, it becomes dark, vile, contemptible, choked with filth and disgusting refuse. So too is a soul, which has lost its master, who once rejoiced there with his angels. This soul is darkened with sin, its desires are degraded, and it knows nothing but shame. Woe to the path that is not walked on, or along which the voices of men are not heard, for then it becomes the haunt of wild animals. Woe too is the soul if the Lord does not walk within it to banish with his voice the spiritual beasts of sin. Woe to the house where no master dwells, to the field where no farmer works, to the pilotless ship, storm-tossed and sinking. Woe to the soul without Christ as its true pilot, drifting in the darkness, buffeted by the waves of passion, storm-tossed at the mercy of evil spirits. Its end is destruction. Woe to the soul that does not have Christ to cultivate it with care to produce the good fruit of the Holy Spirit. Left to itself, it is choked with thorns and thistles. Instead of fruit, it produces only what is fit for burning. Woe to the soul that does not have Christ dwelling in it. Deserted and foul with the filth of the passions, it becomes a haven for all the vices. When a farmer prepares to till the soil, he must put on clothing and use tools that are suitable. So Christ, our heavenly King, came to till the soil of mankind devastated by sin. He assumed the body, and using the cross as his plowshare, he cultivated the barren soul of man. He removed the thorns and thistles, which are the evil spirits, and he pulled up the weeds of sin. Into the fire he cast the straw of wickedness. And when he had plowed the soul with the wood of the cross, he planted in it a most lovely garden of the Spirit that could produce for its Lord and God the sweetest and most pleasant fruit of every kind. My friends, that's the work that God has done. That's the work that the risen Lord continues. This week, let us thank God for giving us that Lord, the Good Shepherd, and allow him and his voice to occupy more and more space, in fact, every space of our lives. God be with you.